We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
The April 2024 Franklin & Marshall College poll indicates Pennsylvanians support voting reforms, including requiring county voting officials to contact voters if they find an error on a submitted ballot, and requiring photo IDs when voting. The poll also shows more voters, although not a significant number of voters, are viewing the direction of the state more positively. To analyze the results of the poll is Burwood Yost, director of the Floyd Institute for Public Policy at the Center for Opinion Research at Franklin and Marshall College. Dr. Yost, welcome to the program.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
I'm doing well. So, biggest takeaway from the poll, in your opinion?
Boy, we covered a lot of ground, as you know. And so there's probably a couple of different things. One, an easy one, is Josh Shapiro continues to be viewed really favorably. Didn't get a lot of coverage, but his job approval ratings are very high, as high as we've seen in a governor at this point in his term since Ridge. So that's a many political cycles ago, as you know, a different world. In terms of the way voters feel, I think you highlighted it, that they're still pessimistic, but we see these incremental steps towards maybe feeling better, right? So a few more of them feel better about their personal finances. A few more of them feel better about the direction of the state. A few more of them feel like next year is going to be better than this year. So I think that's some improvement. But the real story is that President Trump's job approval rating continues to be lower than it should be if he's going to be reelected. And then there's lots of issues we can talk about. So those are probably the highlights at this point. But what piqued your interest?
Well, I have to say, you know, as a news nerd, the voter ID, and I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. But before we do, I want to ask about the takeaways. But are there any surprises to you? Were there any surprises to you?
I think some of the coverage of the poll surprised me. We did an experiment, and because I'm trying to figure out what the impact of third party candidates is going to be on the presidential race. And so we randomly split our sample. Half the people got a question that just put Trump against Biden, and the other half at random got Trump, Biden, and several third party candidates. And the real intention of that was to figure out how things change. And most polls ask both questions back to back. And normally people who answer the first question will stick to what they said in the second question. So you can't get a real measure of the impact of third party candidates. So we did that. And when we did the third party candidate indicators, it looks like Trump or Biden had a 2-point lead over Trump. And I thought that's the real story, that third party candidates have a bigger effect on President Biden's support than former President Trump. And that was important to understand. But most of the coverage focused on the other part of that, which was the half of the sample got the just Trump Biden head to head, which showed a much more comfortable race. So I was surprised by that because that's not something I highlighted. I really talked about the effects of third-party candidates and how close the race would be because of that. So maybe that's kind of a strange answer, but that surprised me how many people grabbed on to the lead in the head-to-head matchup versus what I think was the better characterization of the race.
I don't know about surprises, but what it does say about media coverage of polls is horse race. And the media is often criticized for focusing on the horse race aspect. Horse race meaning, you know, who's ahead at this point, what the polls are saying. I mean, this year in particular, polls across the country, it's like every day Trump leads here, Biden leads here, but most of the time it's Trump leading here. And it's just the horse race aspect of it. So, you know, putting some thought into it and coming away with a unique result says something right there. Okay, so the results, and basically this is a horse race question too, but when Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and the other third party candidates are included, what did the results show?
So basically, when you just ask people Biden, Trump, something like 90% of registered Democrats say they're supporting Biden, and it's about 75% of registered Republicans say they're supporting Trump. When you ask, when you add in all the third party candidates, Biden's support among Democrats drops down to about the same level as Trump among Republicans, so about three quarters. That's what we see happen. So the number of people who pick a third party candidate or say they don't know is about 7% among Democrats when it's a head to head. It's more like 15% when you offer the three or the additional candidates, the third party candidates. And that's an important finding, right? I mean, I keep trying to tell people, look, getting to the final vote outcome here is going to be like searching for spare change in your sofa. I mean, the parties are going to need everything they can get. And it's clear to me that who's on the ballot as a third party candidate and how many of them are going to have a significant impact on this race. And that was the story, right? I think the story had to do with the indicators we track, which are important and relatively stable, and then kind of what are the dynamics that might shape the outcome. And that's what we were trying to talk about.
And just to remind our listeners, we're talking about Pennsylvania voters. And then if you take one step back, you have to remember that Pennsylvania is one of the keys, if not the key state, in determining who the next president is. So I think that a lot of people would agree with you that that third party candidate or candidates could determine who the next president of the United States is.
Yes, undoubtedly. Which is why it was an important question, but that got less attention than I think some organizations, because the head-to-head was a little, showed a better Trump, advantage for Biden than many other polls, including our last poll. Some people wanted to latch on to that. So make of that what you will.
Just out of curiosity, Robert Kennedy Jr. is getting the most support so far across the country of the third party candidates. How much support did he get in your poll?
Yeah, it was about the same as you see nationwide, 7-8%.
That's significant.
Everything's going to be significant here, Scott, because as you said, this The last race was what settled by about 80,000 votes, and the one before that was even a smaller margin. I think you saw some of the writings I did prior to the poll release about population changes that might help Republicans. So all indicators are that this is going to be another close one.
So let's talk about some of those voting reforms. And I'm going to start with voter ID. We mentioned that very early on. Reason that caught my attention, Burwood, is because this has been a controversial issue even before the 2020 election. But it has raised its head time and time again. It is something that is keeping the two parties in the Pennsylvania legislature from actually coming up with some voting reforms, because Republicans overwhelmingly support and have actually drawn a line in the sand about voter ID, that we must have it, where Democrats know it will disenfranchise some voters, especially minority voters, can't do that. So What did the results of the poll say about voter ID?
Well, we see a majority of Pennsylvania voters who say they favor it, almost 60% strongly favor it. And that's consistent. We've asked those questions before. I think a lot of voters believe that voter ID laws are a reasonable way to ensure election integrity. I hate to use that word because of sometimes the way it's used, but basically of making sure the people who can vote do vote. So I don't know. I understand it's a strongly partisan issue. And in fact, when you look at the numbers, it's 90% of Republicans strongly favor it, 30% of Democrats, about 2/3, though, of independents. And so, you know, there are sizable demographic differences. But if you put the strongly and somewhat favor together here, even half of Democrats say they favor a photo ID requirement.
Now, another part of that, and quite frankly, I think that I don't inject my own opinions here, but here's one that I would think that maybe the legislators should think about maybe trading voter ID for pre-canvassing of mail-in ballots. The counties have said this is something we need. And so many voters have complained about not getting the results until a few days afterwards, especially in a presidential year. I mean, this is one of the basis for former President Trump saying that he won in 2020 was because Pennsylvania's mail-in ballot results didn't come a few days later. So pre-canvassing of the ballots, in other words, counting the mail-in ballots before Election Day, only about half supported that, though.
Well, so this is one of those ideas that's been caught up in the partisan conversation, right? I was actually surprised we'd get to half. And it's important to understand pre-canvassing is merely preparing the ballots to count them, not actually counting them. Right. So
although some states do that.
And some our state, I think the proposal would be just to prep them so they can be counted away. So it's strongly divided by partisanship. You know, only 14% of Republicans strongly favor it versus, you know, 45% of Democrats and 17% of independents. But still you have majority support. It's 50%. Favor, 42% oppose, the rest don't know. So it seems like that might be something, as you say, you could see a trade on. One party gets one thing, one party gets the other. That's part of how you make legislation.
Yeah, of course, we don't do that anymore. I say that sarcastically. But another one, and this had a significant majority. Large majority support requiring county voting officials to contact voters if they find an error on a submitted ballot. This has gone through the court so many times, and I'll be honest with you, I don't even know where we stand with it right now because there have been so many court decisions on it.
Yeah, I think the latest decision was that they must be signed
right.
and
dated. Right.
I think that's the latest one, but you're right, it's hard to keep up. But, you know, this is one of those things where you have majority support across parties. So 65, 66% of Republicans, 80%, almost 90% of Democrats, almost 90% of independents say, hey, if there's an error and the county catches it, they should give you the they should contact you and give you the opportunity to correct that problem. And I think that seems reasonable. Why not?
The poll also showed that most voters in Pennsylvania aren't satisfied with how democracy is working. What does that mean?
I don't know, Scott. I mean, we asked the question broadly. I think you and I both know that no one's satisfied with the way that our political system works at the moment. People, for the most part, want to see things get accomplished. They want to see problems solved, and they don't feel like they are. In fact, as you know, since the early 2010s, the number of people in our surveys who say the most important problem facing our state is politicians or the government itself, that number has steadily increased. And that's why, because people just don't feel like our legislators are getting solving the problems that confront us. And that feeling is, you know, pretty consistently felt across the parties. I mean, 3% of Republicans, 10% of Democrats, 4% of independents say they're very satisfied with the way democracy works.
But at the same time, 9 in 10 say that democracy is the best form of government.
They do. And I guess they agree with Winston Churchill on that one.
Do you want to quote Churchill?
You go ahead.
It's the best form of government and the worst form of government.
That's right.
Essentially, that's more of a paraphrase than a quote.
That's right.
So, all right, moving on to another issue that has gotten a lot of attention recently. Governor Shapiro, in his budget address, came out in support of legalizing marijuana it wasn't the first time, but came out again about legalizing marijuana for recreational purposes. Seems to be getting more support. What did the poll say about that?
Yeah, look, the number of Pennsylvanians who favor marijuana legalization is over 60% at this point, or approaching 60%. And it has been for a while. We've seen this attitudes towards this change significantly. And I think it really started to pick up after medical marijuana was legalized here and after other states started to legalize marijuana. So that finding didn't surprise me. What I thought was interesting was we asked, okay, if marijuana does become legal, how might it be sold? So you could set up a system parallel to or like the state store system, where there are state-owned cannabis shops, or you could distribute it through the private dispensaries that distribute medical marijuana. And that's the option that almost half of voters chose. They thought that using the private dispensaries to distribute it would be the way to go, versus only 29% who want state-run stores. Now, that could be the long-standing animosity towards state stores, which people have wanted to see privatized for a long time. But I thought that was an interesting result.
Mm. So the state stores, which aren't called state stores anymore, would be wine, spirits.
Fine wine and spirits.
Yeah, fine wine, spirits, and weed. I don't know if that's the official officially.
One-stop shopping, I guess.
That's right. All right, so let's move on to the U.S. Senate race. The primary in 2 weeks, Bob Casey, the Democrat incumbent, Dave McCormick, the Republican. They don't face a lot of opposition in the primary, so they're already campaigning for November. At this point, how does it match up head-to-head?
You know, this race has been pretty static since we've been tracking it, almost for the past year. Casey has about a 7-point advantage, 46 to 39 is what we found in the latest poll, and that's consistent. And I would say what's more important than the head-to-head are some of those underlying numbers. And there's two of them that are important to understand. One is Senator Casey's job approval ratings. He's at about 35% who say he's doing an excellent or good job as U.S. Senator. And so that's about where he was in 2012, the first time he was reelected. It's not bad. It could be better. I mean, as I said earlier, Shapiro's at 54%. That's you want to try to get higher than he is. So his job approval rating is okay. It could improve if, you know, to put him in a better position. The other indicators relate to personal favorability. And McCormick's problem right now is that half of voters don't know who he is. They say, I don't know enough about him to have an opinion. And among those that do, he's viewed more unfavorably than favorably. On the other hand, Senator Casey, even though he's underwater in his job approval ratings, is more popular and viewed more favorably than unfavorably personally. So I think he certainly has an advantage right now. We'll see how those dynamics change, because two things are going to happen. Senator Casey's going to try to tell you what he's done to improve his job approval ratings, and Dave McCormick's going to tell you who he is to improve voters' knowledge of him. Mm-hmm.
We mentioned this right up front. We only have about a minute or so left, but you mentioned that voters feel a little more positive about the direction of the state. What about the economy?
Yeah, look, we're starting to see some movement there as well. A few more people are now saying they're better off. Fewer people saying they're worse off. But there are still, I think, about 45%, if I'm remembering correctly, a lot of numbers, but about 45% of the folks in the poll said they were worse off than a year ago. And that is financially. And you ask them why, and it's pretty much all about inflation, the price of goods and services, the costs of food, the costs of housing. You know, and there's this is a real issue for President Biden, because people feel that pain of inflation. And, you know, psychologists will tell us we feel pain and remember it a lot more intensely than we do positive news. So this is a real a sticking point for the president.
Berwin Yost, Franklin Marshall College pollster, thank you very much for being with us today.
Always a good time, Scott. Thanks.